I want to preach just a quick word. I don't take too long. I take about, 25 minutes, and that kind of seems to blow everybody's minds because they're used to the Pastor Daryl. He'll go on a little more, but I believe he has a good word for y'all next week. Make sure to get here. But I believe I have something for us all today. This is a text that I've touched on in this church previously. This is something I've taught a little bit, but I want to draw it out a little bit more. I want to take some more points out because I believe this is something that if you apply to your life and that if you take home with you, it can change everything. If you allow this word to sink deep into your spirits, then I believe God will change things in your life. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Mark, chapter 5, verses 22 through 24. I have the privilege to be in a Bible college called Free Chapel College. Man, that it's such an amazing school where I'm receiving so much from the Lord. I honor all of my pastors there today who may be watching this. I honor them. Mark chapter 5, verses 22 through 24. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, speaking of Jesus, and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, and she may be healed, and she will live." So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. So at this point in Jesus's ministry, we're kind of nearing the halfway mark of Jesus's 3 years of public ministry. His popularity is beginning to grow. His experience is beginning to grow. He's doing more miracles. He's becoming more well-known. And he's healing people. And he's calming storms. And he's, raising dead people and raising dead minds back to life. And this is rattling the minds of the Jewish people at the time. They have thousands and thousands of years of culture and experiences and tradition that is ingrained in them. And this is kind of the story of Jairus that we're seeing. You see, Jairus is a synagogue leader. That means that he is well-versed in the law. He knows the Torah. He knows the Jewish traditions. He's well-respected by the people of the city. He's a leader. He has protocols he has to follow. He has standards to uphold. He is a leader in this society. And something common of these traditional Jewish leaders is that they are not a fan of what Jesus is doing on the earth. They are against what he is doing, because how many know religion isn't really a fan of a move of a spirit? I mean, religion, that spirit tends to not agree with that. But Jairus' daughter was sick. And this Jesus who is going around doing miracles and healing people and seeing blind eyes open and deaf ears hear, when you see that, I mean, suddenly all of that protocol kind of has to go out of the window because his little girl is sick. And he's desperate. He got desperate enough to realize that despite everything he'd been taught, everything he thought he knew about Jesus suddenly didn't matter in that moment, because he needed a touch. He needed Jesus to do something in his life. I wonder if we have any similar stories in the room. You know, desperation gets us to a point. Desperation gets us to the point where we realize, okay, this is the way I've done it. This is the way it's always been. This is what I'm used to, but I'm desperate and I need something from God. And I believe if you came in this room desperate this morning, that God won't leave you the same, because he always responds to the desperation of his people. It doesn't matter if you've been prideful like Jairus, thinking you know more. If you're desperate, God said, "I have a touch for you this morning," and it can change everything in your life. when we realized the kid was sick and we got the bad diagnosis and our finances was a mess and our family was out of order, we realized we needed Jesus more than anything else. So this is what Jairus is doing in this moment. Jairus is interrupting Jesus with a touch. See, Jairus is already en route. He's going to find Jesus because he needs to interrupt him for a moment so he can touch him and Jesus can touch the situation that he's going through. The title of my message this morning is A Touch That Interrupts. A Touch That Interrupts. Let's pray and then we're going to go into some more word and we're gonna work this out. Amen? Father, we thank you for this word. God, I ask that you would bless it. I ask that you would just let it permeate into our hearts, into our minds, God, that we would leave this place different because we encountered you. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark 5, verses 25 through 28. Jairus interrupted Jesus, but then something else interrupts Jesus as he's going to help Jairus. Starting in verse 25, it says, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. She had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, 'If I only may touch his clothes, I shall be made well.' She had been to all the doctors. She had been to all the people trying to get a fix for this thing that she had. She's looking for some kind of solution to her problem. And so she goes from doctor to physician, looking for a way to figure this thing out. And it's kind of like, you know, she's trying the world's way before she gets to God's way. And we have a similar story. I mean, how many know before we found Christ, we just tried everything to try to get the fix? We smoked the stuff. We drank the stuff. We looked at the stuff we shouldn't have been looking at because we were looking for something to fix this, to fix our heart. But that only left us more desperate. And that only left this woman with the flow of blood more desperate for a touch of God. She was looking for something. What is interesting about this culture and this time is that when you had an affliction like this, when you were sick, when you had a disease, when you had some kind of ailment like this, the Jewish people were so serious about cleanliness and uncleanliness, and they were so serious, like, I can't be around something that's dirty, something that's not worthy. So what this woman was forced to do, she had to announce her affliction every time she walked into a new place. Hey, I'm sick. Hey, I'm not right. Hey, I'm messed up. Get away. I'm not right. And can I challenge our thinking? We do the same thing a lot of the times. See, we think because of our past and what we've been through and what has happened to us that we're not worthy to receive. So we get into a place like this and we start to just kind of announce our afflictions like, you know, I can't receive anything. You know what I've been through. God doesn't want to use me. You know, I've done so much and I've sinned in such a way. But I came to tell you this morning that no matter what you think disqualifies you, no matter what you've been through, no matter what trauma you've gone through, it does not determine the truth of your future. God has something for you in this place. And if you would just get a faith like the woman with the issue of blood, that you would just, I don't care anymore. I don't care what it looks like. I just got to go after this Jesus. I'm telling you, he will never leave you the same. See, this woman, she's a lot like Jairus. Everything she had been told to do, every procedure, every protocol, every rule, every tradition was pushed aside in that moment because she had to get a touch. I want you to notice some things from this text. It says that she had to come up behind him. She had to fight through the crowd. It says in verse 24 that he was thronged. There was so many people around him. He was surrounded on every side by people. And it wouldn't have been easy to get to Jesus in that moment. I remember I went to Nashville one year for New Year's Eve, and I went to this big public concert that they have with these like country artists. And that is not my vibe. I don't know why I was there. It's like, I don't need that many people around me. And you know, the stage is about 4 football fields the other way from where I'm standing, and there's people just everywhere, just banged up on each other. And you know, I get there, and it takes me a minute to walk to this place, and I get to this point where I can stand, and the country singer, I forgot his name, but the Australian guy, y'all know the Australian guy? But that Australian country singer was way over there, so many yards away, I couldn't even get to him. And I was thronged by all these people. And I can kind of imagine that this woman with the issue of blood, she's in this situation. There's all these people near her, and she's wanting to get to Jesus, but everybody is surrounding him. And I like to think of this as a fighting faith. You know, she had to fight through the crowd. She had to, excuse me, move out of the way. I got to get to this Jesus. I wonder today if anybody has a fighting faith. When it feels like you just are in the fight, when it feels like you just have to fight to get to church and fight through the traffic and fight to get the kids out of bed and fight to get the husband acting right and fight to get your finances in order. But I came to tell you, if every day seems like a fight, if you would just keep pressing forward, God is about to do something in your life. And in a moment, in a little while, I'm going to release you to keep fighting, and I'm going to release worship to keep going, and I believe God is going to touch you, but we're going to keep teaching this for a little while. I want to know, when was the last time you got desperate like that woman with the issue of blood? You got so desperate, like something rose up in your spirit, and you made this determination that I got to keep fighting. I got to keep fighting through the against, fighting through the struggle, fighting against the grain so I can get a touch from this Jesus, because one touch will change everything in your life. One touch will move mountains. One touch can change the trajectory of your life. Starting in verse 30, we're going to keep reading and keep learning from this. It says, "And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' But his disciples said to him, 'You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, "Who touched me?" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing." Remember, Jesus is still on the way to go heal Jairus' daughter. Jesus is still on the way to figure out this purpose and this plan that he initially had. He's already has his mind set on something, but then something interrupts him. It's a touch. Jesus he's already determined on what he's going to do, but then something comes up and he feels faith touch his clothes. He feels desperation grab a hold of him. And desperation always kind of has this way with God where he can't ignore it. He sees desperation and it just highlights to him. He loves it. He wants to see his people want him more than anything else. And desperation fights through all these people. It said that the crowd was already all up against him and touching him and moving in that place. But something came up different because something came up desperate. And if you're moving in desperation, I came to tell you that God won't ignore you. You might feel so broken and feel so alone, and you feel like there's nothing else you can do. But if you're desperate for God, he will meet you where you're at today. See, when you praise him in the middle of your circumstance, he's looking at you. When you shout in the middle of your struggle, he sees you. When you tithe and you give your offering and you're generous in the middle of your struggle, God is with you. He won't ignore you. He always sees that desperate touch grab a hold of him. He sees it. And it's like, you know, this faith, we get so used to this in the Western church where we just kind of want everything to happen for us and to happen to us. You know, if I can just get in church and the greeter gives me the right greeting and I can get into worship and, you know, the worshipers have the right faith, maybe I can get something. But this woman wasn't at this point. She couldn't rely on somebody else's faith in this moment. She had to make a determination that I need to get something on the inside of me that says I'm not slowing down. I'm going after God because God has something that I need. He has healing. He has peace. He has purpose for my life. She was desperate. She was desperate. And I want you to see what happens when you reach after Jesus, when you reach after him in your desperation. Verse 33, it says, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. When you reach out to Jesus, when you go after him, when you go against the grain and say, I'm getting a hold of this Jesus, he answers and he heals and he delivers and he sets free. And God is still doing that today. He is still healing. This series that pastor is about to bring you all into, the fire still falls and the Holy Spirit is still moving. That's one of the greatest lies of the culture, is that God doesn't move like he used to. I came to tell you today that he does. He still heals. He still delivers. He still sets free. And if you come with that desperation and if you come with that faith, God will never leave you the same. Keys can come help me out. I got a little more. Is that all right? Keys can come help. We're gonna land this soon enough. I want you to learn something from this and kind of challenge you that this woman with the issue of blood never actually touched Jesus. She never actually touched Jesus. She touched something that touched Jesus. She touched the hem of his garment. And when you touch something that touches Jesus, it still doesn't leave you the same. So this morning, if you came in here for a touch and you came in here needing something, that means because you touched something, the family that you're going home to, since you touched it, they're gonna touch it and they're not gonna be the same. So that job that everybody's not acting right and everything's a mess, because you touched something this morning, they touched something this morning, and something is going to shift. You're not just getting a touch for you this morning. You're getting a touch for your family, for your school, for your job, for your situation, because when you touch something and that something touches you, then everything's changed. In verse 35, it says, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? So this great miracle happens and this woman is healed. And she gets what she needs in this moment, but there's still something missing. There's still this original plan that hasn't been fulfilled yet. Jairus' daughter is still sick and she still needs healing. Why trouble the teacher any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. Verse 37, and he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, came in, and he said to them, why make this commotion? It said the people were weeping and they were wailing loudly. Why make this commotion and weep? The child isn't dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. He had to finish the miracle he originally set out to do. And he gets through the crowds and he gets past that point and he finally gets to the house of Jairus, and immediately he's surrounded with just doubt and he's surrounded with weeping and wailing and mourning and everybody thinking the situation is over. And this doubt is around him. I want to challenge you this morning to just take some authority, and you got to sometimes just kick doubt out of the room. Before I get up on a stage like this to preach and to teach God's word, I mean, immediately I'm hit with doubt, and immediately I'm hit with thoughts of not enough, and thoughts of I'm not qualified for this, and thoughts of how am I going to do this? But sometimes I just have to kick doubt out of the room and say, no, I've been anointed to preach the gospel. It is the power of God that brings salvation unto men. And some of you this morning needs to get that same determination in your spirit that says, you know what, I'm facing all the lies and I'm hearing all of it come at me, but I'm fighting for my family. I'm desperate for a touch, and I gotta kick the doubt out of the room because God is doing something in this place. Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. Some of the things you thought and you think are dead are not dead. They're just sleeping. There's some things, there's some dreams that you had. There's some business ideas that you had. Some things for your marriage and your family that you thought, oh, that was all that time ago, you know. I had this idea and I had this faith and I had this fire, but that's dead now. But Jesus is telling you, no, it's not dead. It's just sleeping. It's about to come awake. It's about to raise to life again. I want you to see what happens in verse 41 through 42. And the band can come. And then I'm gonna release this place to get a touch. Says in verse 41, then he took the child by the hand and he said to her, Talitha kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked over, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. Everyone thought that death had the final say, but Jesus interrupted it with one touch. Jesus changed everything with one touch of his presence, one touch of his power. The situations that you think are dead aren't dead. Your life isn't dead. Your purpose isn't dead. God still has big plans for you. And I came to tell you this morning that if you would just have the desperation, that you would just have the faith to get a touch, God is gonna change everything in your life. Come on, the businesses are coming back to life. The family is coming back to life. The marriage is coming back to life. The finances are coming back to life. All it takes is one touch of his presence to change everything. Just one touch. See, the woman with the issue of blood interrupted Jesus with a touch. She got up behind him in a crowd for a touch of her healing. And then Jesus interrupted everything in her life, all of the bondage, all of the sickness, with one touch of his power. And Jairus interrupted Jesus with a touch for her daughter. And Jesus interrupted death with his touch. It's a touch that interrupts. And I'm just wondering if there's anybody in here that just needs a touch. Maybe you're like the woman with the issue of blood who just needs healing in their body. This past week, I was in class, and we were having what we call an experience day, where prospective students come in to hear about the college and to experience what it's like. And there's this student who's like a junior in high school. He's 17, and he leads this group, and he's just this awesome guy. And I can tell there was something on his life that was different. And he found out that I was preaching for our youth group this coming week. And you know, when preachers find other preachers, we connect. We like to know each other. And he gets really excited. He's like, hey, what are you preaching about? And I said, I'm preaching about healing and miracles. And he said, okay, why do you think Jesus heals? And you know, that question kind of threw me off for a second. Why does Jesus heal? And I thought about it, and I sat there, and I said, he heals because he loves us. He heals because he loves us. And he said, that's exactly right. God is going to heal you this morning. He's going to heal your body. He's going to heal your flesh. He's going to heal your disease. Not because you deserve it, not because you did anything, but because he loves you. The gospel, Jesus didn't just go up on that cross for our salvation. That's the main part. He went up there that we may be saved and spend eternity with him. But the gospel is all-encompassing. We can't limit the blood to just that. See, the blood covers our finances. The blood covers our peace. The blood covers our family. The blood covers our healing. It says, by his stripes, you were healed. So when Jesus took those lashes on the back, he wasn't doing it for himself. He was doing it for you and for you and for you, because there's healing in his name. God already did all the work. We just have to get desperate and receive by faith that I have healing this morning. I have power this morning. I'm not leaving the same this morning because I got a touch. Because I got a touch. Here's the altar call. The things you thought are dead, God's going to interrupt it in one touch.